Welcome, one and all, to the Intellectual Freedom Podcast, where we explore ideas that challenge the status quo, expand your perspective, and empower your mind. I'm your host, Dr. David Hopkins, humanities professor, and I invite you on a journey of thought-provoking conversations as I step out of the college classroom to discuss, analyze, and critique all aspects of culture, society, and politics that impact your life today and have the potential to reshape your future. So welcome to a podcast that stands for the power of intellectual exploration. Welcome to the Intellectual Freedom Podcast. Before I begin our talk today, many of you know that listen frequently. I teach in the state college system. Heck, I've taught in universities, state colleges, private colleges. I've worked for academic publishing companies. I mean, I've pretty much done everything that could be done in higher education, from administration through faculty. So I'm not an anti-college guy. There is value in college, but like everything, there is nuance to college. There is a time to be in college and there is a time not to be in college. And so all that I say here is take what I put out and speak with you today with a grain of salt. If you have already pulled the trigger and you are in the college system somewhere, grab some wisdom from this perspective. And even if you're not a high school student or college age, or even an adult that's considering whether they should or should not maybe go back to college to upskill or grab a new credential, shift careers, or maybe you're a parent, you're a grandparent, you're a friend or family member of someone who is at that stage of life where they're considering college, and maybe, just maybe, you can add some wisdom and insight that they haven't considered in their decision-making process. Because, well, college, it's a high-stakes game. It's a very, very high-stakes game. The cost in time and money, it is not inconsequential. And for some, it can literally be a life-altering decision in a bad way if they make a poor decision and they get buried in student loan debt. And so you need to be careful and aware of your choice. Or if you can help someone you love or care about avoid a bad decision, well, our talk today would then be worth my time if it helps you and those in your sphere of influence around you, just to even give them things to think about. Ultimately, of course, the decision is going to be theirs and each situation is unique. But I hope this helps in that way. You know, I had a heartbreaking conversation with a student recently. She studied for 2 years at a private college, to be unnamed, here in the state of Florida. She racked up $50,000 in debt in just 2 years. Then she realized she didn't want to be a middle school teacher, which was the program she had enrolled for out of high school. And after some other life happens moments, she dropped out with $50,000 in debt and no credential. Now, 3 years later, still saddled with debt, she's back in college again, studying nursing this time around, which she knows is in higher demand with a much, much higher salary potential than a middle school teacher here in Florida. So she's back in the system. And the system, of course, is more than willing to take her back. The fact is, her story, it's not new. It's not unique. Heck, it's not even really all that uncommon. And not to say that she is wrong for going back to college, because, well, she should pursue what she really wants. And hey, let's face it, just economically speaking, healthcare is an in-demand field, and there's many jobs in most areas of the country. So financially, she can probably turn this very positive situation around. You know, she's got a big hole of debt that she built up trying to be a middle school teacher at a private college, which she's no longer at. But I want to look at an ugly fact. And it is killing so many of our younger generations. The fact is, we have an overproduction of college graduates because, well, we've all been programmed since children to believe this is the only path to success. And it's a lie. It's a lie. And I'm a college professor, so don't think I have no appreciation for degrees, because I do. I'm so glad I did mine. It worked out well for me. But what I see going on today in far too many cases is simply appalling. It is a myth that no matter what, earning a degree is going to ensure your financial success. We all know the stats of how college degree recipients say earn, on average, a higher wage of thousands per year, and over a lifetime, it continues to grow. And this is statistically true, usually, depending on the life path of the non-college graduate and what they do with it. So think about it. If student A goes to a four-year private college to become, a business manager, the quote-unquote business degree. It's the most generic, it's the most used, it's the most given degree. And let's say they rack up $100,000 in debt. But high school student B becomes an apprenticed welder, a plumber, or an electrician, has zero debt, starts working immediately in the mid-$50,000 range, just throwing that number out there. So 4 years later, they have positively earned $200,000. The college student has racked up $100,000 in debt. Or maybe they go to UPS and they hammer out working in a warehouse, job, say, for 1 to 4 years. Then they become a driver. They start making a base salary of $70,000 to $90,000 at the top end. Well, then maybe the college graduate won't make more. So, yes, if you compare a college graduate to, say, someone working at McDonald's, a fast food restaurant, or some low-end job, of course they're going to make more. But we have to kind of smooth out the edges on that in the decision-making process. But I think you get the idea. You know, so why is college being questioned by more and more potential students and their parents alike? Well, there's a number of reasons for this. I mean, times are definitely changing. According to a 2023 survey by a group called Inside Higher Ed, 41% of high school students now question whether college is a good idea for them. This is up from 32% in 2022. This is just 1 year ago. I mean, it definitely was not always like this. College education was a seeming no-brainer, and it started all the way back in the 50s and 60s. And I think that's where this cultural mindset really started to solidify that college is the right route and everyone should go to college if you want to earn a high income. But here's how things have changed and why the changes are so dramatic. So in the 1950s, only about 15% of the population aged 18 to 24 went to college. The ticket to a great job that paid very well was incredibly probable if with that four-year degree. By 1966, 16 years later, 33% of the population went to college. And the competition for available jobs started growing with these college degrees. But still, work was plentiful in a graduate's field of choice. By 1990, 50% of the population went to college, and the pendulum was swinging on that supply versus demand graph. This is where things started to get a little bit dicey, because people were investing the time, they were investing the money to get the degree. And in the 1950s, it was almost guaranteed you made your way into the middle class. But by 1990, now you're competing with 50% of the population. But check this out, by 2023, 75% of the population is going to college. And the available jobs with those degrees is far outstripped by the armies of graduates that the universities are pumping out. And we are pumping them out at a lower quality, lower standards overall. You know, it's hard when the standards in the K-12 system are continually falling lower and lower. Colleges can't hold the same standards either at the college level because the new students coming in, they're less prepared for college than prior generations. Plus, there is this ugly underbelly of higher education to not fail students. We need colleges find ways to retain them for recording purposes, for accreditation purposes. Even when a student may not deserve to pass, sometimes they are. And we're pumping out more and more graduates of lower quality. And so the perceived value of college begins to fall. And so this increased competition with more and more graduates vying for those well-paying jobs, it causes a secondary ripple effect that maybe is more dangerous. And so think about it. You've got these college graduates, four-year college graduates. They're competing for jobs. They can't get jobs. They've got people with years and years of experience they're going up against. They're going up with other very highly skilled, well, lots of letters of recommendation, high GPA, academic award graduates, and they can't find that job after they finish the four-year degree. And so what's a natural thing to do? Well, job seekers will upskill. They'll go beyond the four-year degree and enter the graduate degree. In 1966, only about 1.2 million people had earned a graduate degree. In 1990, that doubled. And there were 2.4 million people with a graduate degree. In 2023, 5.5 million people earned a graduate degree. Yet, as the number of the graduate degree holders doubled and tripled and even quadrupled over the past 50 years, that becomes not enough. Enter the doctorate degree as the final frontier, so far anyway, until the business of degrees comes up with yet another innovative way to make more money. The doctorate degree is the pinnacle. I hope I never see it. But I wouldn't be surprised to see some newfangled marketing ploy by our university system for a credential above and beyond the doctorate degree. But anyway, I digress. In 1966, 0.4% of the population held a doctorate degree. In 1990, 1.2% of the population held a doctorate degree. In 2020, 2.4% of the population held a doctorate. So this march towards more and more and more education across all kinds of fields, trying to get a leg up on the competition, seemingly has no boundaries. And through the 60s and 70s, these degrees made sense because the payoff was there and the jobs were available and you were rewarded for the time and the money and the effort you put into the degree. However, things, they're not as easy as they used to be. So there is now, for anyone listening today, if you're a high school student, you're a college student, or you're an adult considering going back to college, or you know someone who's considering it, you have to analyze this cost-benefit curve because it is bending, if not broken. What is the cost versus the benefit? And this incessant drive that culture has towards more and more education, it's just failing to yield the results and the benefits and the payoff. Let's use just one high-end, high intellectual field as an example. Let's look at the law degree. But, you know, we can track this, and we'll do this just once across the law degree, but you can do this pretty much across the board in every single credential from anything in the accounting to the business to the marketing to the engineering to even dental school or the medical degrees or you name it. You can track it pretty closely, but we'll just do the law degree for purpose, just for the sake of argument, because it shows this so clearly. So, costs. In 1966, the cost of a degree was $16,960. And that's in equivalent U.S. dollars. That's not just based on, you know, the inflation rate. This is adjusted for inflation. $16,960. In 1990, the cost for that same degree, $36,405. In 2022, the cost of the degree, $146,484. That's for the law degree. Imagine you've already paid for your undergrad to get to this point where you can go here. That is an increase in cost of 852%. Yet the number of jobs that are available to law graduates just isn't keeping pace. In 1966, there were 229,930 lawyers. In 1990, there were 675,812 lawyers. In 2023, there will be 1.3 million lawyers. So that's an increase of 466%. That sounds impressive, except the cost of the education has went up over 800%, and the number of available jobs has went up 400%. So the rate of the lawyers produced is nearly double what is needed to fill these positions. Not every degree is a law, but as I mentioned, we see this across multiple fields. So what's the point? Today, an advanced degree or a field that a high school student or a college student is considering that requires for licensure or certification some sort of an advanced degree, whether it would be a master's degree or a doctorate degree or an MD, whatever the cost might be. This may not be a perfect or even reasonably effective way to achieve financial freedom or even a high income level that the colleges are quote unquote selling, and students are perceiving that the value of that degree will produce. The cost has exploded, and the available positions are not keeping pace with the number of candidates to take those positions. It is a very high stakes game of musical chairs, whereby the probability of landing a seat at the table is less and less likely. We see this bear itself out in a poll after poll of graduates from graduate school. 25% of graduate school graduates wish they would not have gone to graduate school at all. 36% of graduate student earners are working in a job that did not require a graduate degree. The total debt on average to reach a graduate degree, $43,000 for undergraduate, then another $37,000 that they're having to spend on their graduate degree, which is roughly around $80,000. 20 to 25% of graduate students don't find a job at all in their chosen field. I mean, the reasons for this discontent are pretty consistent across all the surveys. Number one, they didn't enjoy the work. It wasn't what they thought it would be. The way that it was explained to them during the enrollment process, the way the brochures say, just the basic facts that they can see online, it didn't work out the way that they thought it was. Number two, just a significant and profound lack of opportunity. Most people, especially I'm going to pick on the MBA students, they just simply can't realize the value versus the money that they spend on that degree. And then number three, the financial shackles of heavy student loan debt and that time commitment to the graduate degree. That's a pretty dire look of people that, of students who have actually went through the process. So, what should a passionate aspirant for a professional college credential do? Well, the key to this process is risk mitigation. And risk mitigation is simply just the process of identifying and reducing your risk. And in the context of choosing whether or not to go to college, risk mitigation, there's just a few things that you should consider before you pull the trigger and select your college. Number one, the cost. Obviously, the biggest, most important factor in the price of college is this. Get this right and you can make it pay off. Get this wrong and it could impact your entire life. The most biggest factor in college price, the college selection. Yes, I know you want the cool college, the out-of-state college in an exotic or a cool location like New York City, Hawaii, or LA. Or here's the big one, the private college. Remember that student I mentioned right at the beginning of this podcast? Oh, it's so storied. It's so prestigious. The private elite schools with their gorgeous grounds and their beautiful dormitories and their fancy cafeterias. It sounds so amazing. But here's the deal. If you make a wrong choice in the college you select for the wrong reason, you will get stung, and you're going to get stung hard. College is expensive in that cost of tuition fees, living expenses. It's a huge financial burden. So if you're considering going to a college, it is important to factor in the cost and make sure that you're able to afford it. Private colleges, out-of-state colleges, or even avoiding the university by knocking out the first 2 years in a community college, it'll make a massive difference in your cost. Let me just give you an example. I live every day in my home state of Florida, a humanities course in the state college system. It costs around $300 for a semester in one of my classes. But if you would literally go to the university system in Florida, take literally the same course with the same course code, the same course description, transfers fully in, it would cost $900 to $1,000. Over three times more expensive to go to a state college or a community college to get the same credit. But you know, it's awesome to be at Florida, Florida State, because they have amazing football program. But multiply that 3x cost over 2 years of general education courses, and you can see the difference. The second thing, you need to check out that job market. The job market for college graduates is highly competitive, as I had been talking about. And it's important to make sure that the degree you choose will lead to a job that you are interested in. And we'll eventually, if you end up with student loan debt, we'll be able to pay it off. It makes zero sense to go to a private college, take out $100,000 in student loans to become a high school teacher in the state of Florida and make $32,000 a year. Zero. Zero. But if that same student that I had mentioned early on would have just went to a community college for 2 years, her $100,000 student loan debt would have probably been $5,000 or $6,000. Could it have been an inconvenience? Yes. But the reality is it wasn't life altering. $100,000 in student loan debt is life altering. So your personal goals, another thing to consider. It's important to understand before you go into college what you want to achieve. If you're not sure what you want to do with your life, on the one hand, college can give you time to explore different options, figure out what you're passionate about. That's fine. And if you do it cheaply and reasonably, or if you have scholarships, or your parents have saved money for your college, there's nothing wrong with working. There's nothing wrong with going to college and doing a little part-time work on the side, trying to figure things out. Or even better, maybe just take a year off to figure things out. if you're not all that passionate about college, but you feel like culture is telling you you have to go, maybe what you need is to just take a year off. I mean, life's a marathon and it's not a sprint. So don't think you have to go to college immediately after high school because all my friends and my parents and everybody's kind of forcing me to want to go there. If you don't have any idea what you want to study, college probably is not the best place for you. Most college dropouts, sadly, are students who go to college. They don't have a vision. They don't have a goal on what they want to do when they graduate. College gets hard, and then they drop out. That's one of the largest groups of people who don't make it through college. They don't have a clear vision and a set of goals for their future. Another one, your interests and skills. It is very important to consider your interests and skills when you're trying to choose whether or not to go to college. You know, if you're interested in a particular subject or a field, college will help you develop the skills you need to be successful in that field. But it's not the only route. Some fields require no special certification from a university. Want to be a brilliant business owner? Maybe you should try and start a micro business. Interested in social media marketing? Well, the winners in this field often don't have a college degree. Match your skills and your interests to whether or not you need to have a degree, as there are many, many occupations where certifications like the IT field, on the job experience, say an apprentice in a number of fields, or just hard work are more than enough for you to get ahead. But let's talk about money one more time as we close out as well. This matters a lot, a whole lot. You need to keep that debt at a very bare minimum. Or here's a great goal. Say you're going to avoid it completely. Grants, scholarships, teaching, research assistantships if you're on to graduate school. If none of these are available to you, work part-time or full-time while in school by reducing school loads. I know a student who made it all the way through their entire college education and had zero loans. Did it take them almost 7 years? Yes. But they're out, they have the degree, and they have zero student loan debt. It can be done. Anybody who says it can't be done, they're probably at the wrong school. Or, you know, maybe if you don't want to do it as you go, just pile up cash and go back and go at it full time. Figure it out. There's multiple ways to do it. Pursue paths in fields that don't require the Master of Science or the PhD or the MA. And use that proximity principle to dive into an area or career before you commit to your schooling. The world is littered with angry grads who thought a degree in X would be fulfilling, only to figure out the real world didn't match the image the college portrayed. So if you use that proximity principle, and really what you're doing is you're getting in at the base level and you're figuring out that field. It's not where you want to be, but it gets you close to where you want to be at a lower level, because this may help you figure out, hey, this is my passion and I do have the skills. And I do have some knowledge to be able to do this. So start out. Don't be afraid to start out in the entry level in a field that you have a passionate interest. You know, really hone those basic skills. Network with professionals in that field. Leverage the experience and connections to take on school at a future date. Or heck, maybe you realize you don't even need school at some point. Slow and steady path to success. I know we're often taught in culture, especially our high school students at an age of 17 or 18. What do you want to be with when you grow up? Well, heck, there's 50, 60-year-olds who don't even know what they want to do and wish they would have done something else. It's so hard and it's a long journey. So you should not feel like you need to rush into something. In the end, college, it's not bad and it's not wrong. At least not all the time. But make sure you are in control of the process, not the college, not the banks that are giving the student loans, not culture, not parents. You are in control of the process, and you know all the facts before you jump into the deep end of the swimming pool. This is the field. This is what it pays. This is what it's going to cost. This is what it's how long it's going to take me to be able to do what I want to do. This is the angle I'm going to take. Really slow down and think your way through the entire thing. Strategically plan it out. You know, degree seeking, it is a high stakes game in 2023. You should play the game right if you're going to go to college, or don't play the game at all. Making a poor decision, it can lead to incredible stress, anxiety, regret, anger, and financial disaster. And that's not hyperbole anymore if you are not careful, because it is like playing with fire. So make certain that you are in control of that entire process, and you set yourself up for success in the future, not failure. Thank you for listening in today. I hope you've enjoyed this episode and leaves you with something you can take forward and utilize in your life, or maybe gives you a new perspective and understanding. You know, if every single day we just pick up a little bit of insight, knowledge, or spark of curiosity, then by the end of the year, we'll be miles ahead of where we are right now. So I encourage you to continue nurturing your curiosity with an open mind and an open heart. If you found value in our discussions and want to stay connected, don't forget to hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts. By subscribing, you never miss an episode. Oh, and one more thing, consider subscribing to my newsletter. A link is provided in the show notes. I publish articles, discuss books I'm reading, provide curated content directly to your inbox, and it's always free 100% of the time. And just as I despise being spammed in my inbox, I promise I never sell your information and I won't abuse your time by sending you stuff constantly. So as we wrap up today's journey, remember that the pursuit of knowledge and understanding knows no bounds. Keep exploring, keep questioning, keep pushing the boundaries of your intellect. Together, we're creating a community that values ideas and fosters intellectual freedom. Until the next time, keep your mind open, your heart curious, and your spirit free. Thank you for being part of the Intellectual Freedom Podcast.